number 11 of a 12-tip series of sermon speeches given by Pastor Chang in California. The topic is Keys to a Victorious Spiritual Warfare. This particular message is preceded by a testimony shared by Rosa. Here is her testimony. Peace to fellow Christians. The Lord touched my heart to share my testimony with you. This is particularly regarding those family with the teenagers. And particularly for the mothers and the fathers, you will have no trouble in identifying with my testimony, what I would like to share with you. And in particular, when we just came to Christ so late in our lives, and our children have already grown up, and we did not bring our children up according to the principles by the Bible. So you think we are too late. It's not. It's not. And I was more or less in the same boat as most of us here. And I learned one trick in how to deal with the teenagers in our families. And my one trick is to trust in the Lord. Put your trust completely in the hands of the Lord. And then, no matter what happened, no matter what happened to your teenager at house, don't focus on the problems, on the pains, on the sufferings, on all the difficulties you experience in your life and in your family. The thing is the important, trust the Lord and praise the Lord for everything which is going on with your teenager. And probably most of you are aware I had a very difficult relationship with my younger daughter. But today I won't go into details. But you all know later on I shared my testimony with you before. That is, after extended time, I just prayed to God and praised the great name of the Lord. My teenager younger daughter just changed. Not only that, she just changed greatly. She became a very devout Christian. Not only that, and she was very strict, and she kept her promise before the Lord, and she tithed very religiously and faithfully. And my younger daughter was a big girl, and just a short while back, and she shared with me. She said, "Mommy, why I always feel cold? Why you are different? It seems you are okay, but I always feel cold." Then I just smiled at her. She said, "What are you smiling for?" Then I said, "Do you really want to know?" She said, "Yes, I want to know what your answer is to that." And my answer was, "You know what? God does not like us to dress so little, so skimpy things, and in public. So God, it's God's hand in all this. So you feel cold. God wants you to dress more decently to cover yourself a little bit more. And do not follow the trend of today's world." Just a short while back, and she came to visit me. She came back home to visit me. And when I had all the food ready and put on the table, and I wanted to have a wonderful supper with my daughter, but for some reason she did not touch the food at all. All she was interested in is sharing her experience in the Lord with me. So she did not just touch the food. She shared with me her experiences since she had a big test coming up. So she just studied a lot. And she spent most of her time, available time, in her books and studies. And it was about time to go to the church. And she was still involved in her studies and books. Not until very late, then she quit, and finally she came to church. After she arrived at the church, she realized she was 10 minutes late. And she sat in the chapel and started this worship service. Then all of a sudden, the Lord just shone His light into her heart. All of a sudden, she realized it seems dawned upon her that for everything else, she always was very sensitive about to get to the appointment before the appointed time. Then why for the church service, for Sunday morning, and she came to the church 10 minutes late. So all of a sudden, she realized that she was wrong. she realized that she need to really trust the Lord. She really need to treat the Lord seriously and faithfully. She said, I need to change. I have to change. If I trust my Lord, why should I worry so much about my studies? Why should I worry so much about the results of my test or that? And why should I spend precious time, even this 10 minutes I wanted to spend in my studies of books, instead of, shouldn't I have left a little bit early so I can arrive church on time? That really tells me I'm not putting my trust and my belief in the Lord, and I just trust my own abilities. I worry so much. That really attests to the fact that I have little faith in my Lord. From today on, I really want to change. I need to change. I have to change, and it is my desire, it is my decision to change. From today on, I will spend less time in my studies. When it's time for Lord's appointment, I will leave early enough so I can arrive at my appointment with the Lord on time. She also shared with me, she used to be very gregarious. She had a lot of friends. She really loved the socializing, all that. Recently, she gradually realized that she became a little bit more like a loner kind of person. And I smiled again, and I said, you know what? It's also Lord's hand in this whole thing, because Lord wants you to spend more time with Him rather than with your friends. I'm not saying just cut off the relationship with your friends, but simply it's Lord's heart, it's Lord's desire. He wanted you, He wanted to draw you near Him. He wanted you to spend more time with Him, to spend more time in the inner chamber with Him, and in solitude, in quietness, and in closeness. Lord wants you to get near Him. And she said, yes, Mom, you're right. Mom, you're right. So I told her, I said, remember, I had a difficult time with you a few years back. You and I, we had a very sensitive, very tough relationship. But I really praise the Lord. I really praise the Lord for our relationship, for our difficult relationship. I did not complain. I did not just develop any anger, but I just praise the Lord for this, because the Lord's hand is behind all this. Remember what? Because I spent so much time in solitude with the Lord. So Lord touched my life. Lord changed my life. And Lord's presence is with me all the way throughout my life. Because of that, and that life really affected and touched other people in my work. So in my office, 100% of the people work with me are just Christians. They became Christians. Here starts Pastor Chang's message. Thank you, Lord, we just heard this testimony. But today, I want to concentrate, I want to focus on the area of trials and temptations. And we have shared a lot of things, and with other areas like our thoughts, our emotions, all that, and a lot of difficult situations. But today, I want to concentrate on the trials and temptations we often face in our daily lives. Like I said, trials and temptations, it is a very relevant area. You and I all come across, you and I all bump into all these things. Let's look at James. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. James 1, 12, 15. Blessed is the man who perseveres in the trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone, but each one is tempted by his own evil desire. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So it is very important. Each one is tempted by his own private desires, his own evil desires, and he is dragged away and enticed. So this is really some kind of a sombering message for us all. So we are tempted by our own desires, our own hidden desires and evil desires. And the verses following that is, then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. and the sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So today's message is an important message. It's not a trivial message. Recently, I was reading a book, The Wondrous God. It is Wondrous God. It was written by a sister who is elderly, and today she is 83 years old. In the book, she shared the very tough times during the Cultural Revolution back in about 30 years ago, back in mainland China. And all the Christians were severely persecuted by the local government, by the communist government. She herself was imprisoned also, and she was sent to remote countryside for hard labor, all that. And during her exile, she came across a lot of other Christians who shared her same faith. But unfortunately, she witnessed firsthand many ministers, former pastors, they just failed. They just fell because of the temptations. Because the communists told all these people, now you are put under hard labor. But it is in your hands to change your own faith. It's very easy for you guys. If you just report on other people, you just denounce your own faith, you will be released. You can just leave this place. You can go back to wherever you came from. So sisters and brothers, so this elderly sister shared with us, all things started from very, very small things. Like when you are in public, before you have your meals, you might feel apprehensive. You do not want to pray in public. Or you kind of started praying without closing your eyes, stuff like that. A thing as small, as slight as those, you started from these things. But once when these temptations, these desires are conceived, the Bible said, it gives birth to sin, and the sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So the important thing is, you do not give in for these small things. If you give in gradually, one step at a time, until finally you are so helpless and so hopeless, it develops to the point you would, for your private desire, evil desires, you will report on other people's. You will stab in the back of other Christians for your own sake, so you can get released. You can be set free. So you can enjoy a normal life. So this is a really book with the message is very heavy, and all these stories are really just. I would use the word bloody stories, because these are really the Christian. They just shed their blood for their faith, for their cause. So in the book, she really shared many, many instances that Christians, because they did not hold on to their faith, they did not stand firm their faith. They did not stand firm their ground. So they gave in, started from small things. Finally, they just fell before people and before the Lord. So it made me think, what if today we Christians here in the United States, we are facing that kind of a persecution and a great tribulation? How many of us will stand firm? How many of us can keep our faith in the Lord? That's why today I want to spend some time on this important area, which is trials and temptations. So if in our daily trials and temptation we fail every day, we fail more or less almost everything, then we will never be able to withstand the big persecution and the tribulations coming our way somewhere in the future. I don't know when, but according to the Bible, it will come. So the first area I would like to talk about is the TV. It's a TV program. It's TV viewing. There's this teacher shared with me. His brother is a very good student, is a top student at school. And when he was preparing for the entrance exam to college, and he just unplugged his TV set in his room because he really wanted to concentrate in his studies to be prepared for the great exam. That's in Taiwan for all the students. Before you go to the college, you have to take this entrance exam. But because he was studying for the politics and local news, all the news developments, he need to watch some of the news program. That's why he replugged his TV set. But because of that, once when he turned the TV on and he started watching the news program, which he needs for his preparation. But he couldn't control himself because of this news watching. He just continued watching for hours on end. So every night he watched TVs for hours. And I really identify with this temptation because many years ago, before I was a Christian, I was more or less in the same shoes of him. And I love the TV set so much. Once I turn the TV on, and I find myself just glued to the TV tube. I couldn't leave the TV set because so many programs, I just watch one program after another. I wasted so much time of my precious life. I wasted a lot of tons of time. So I really identify with this particular temptation. I remember back in Taiwan many years ago, we had this famous baseball team. Once when the baseball team is on, it is a family thing. It is a family thing. The whole family will just glued to the TV tube, will gather together around the TV set and just nipping on snacks and watching TVs and really spend so much time spending hours before the TV set. So later on, when after I became a Christian, particularly after I became a minister, I really struggled. I really fought this spiritual battle against this temptation to watch the TV. And finally, I was set free by the Lord. But I can really identify with this particular temptation because once I was heavily tempted, not only that, I was hopelessly entangled with this trial. So Christian, it is very important for you and I to ask ourselves this question. How much time do I spend before the TV set? So once when you sit before the TV set, actually you're worshiping the program. So let me ask you, reword my question. How much time do you worship the Lord? As versus how much time do you worship the TV programs? It is a severe question you need to ask yourself. You know what? Oftentimes nowadays, Satan has a lot of weapons to just attack us. One of the powerful weapons is this TV program, the TV program. So there's this parents, they just through the raffle tickets, they won this grand prize, which is a TV set. So they just moved this TV set into their house, so they started viewing this TV programs. They enjoyed it. But after a week, this couple are Christians. After a week, they realized that, no, they wasted so much time before the TV set. So they finally ended up giving this TV set away as a gift to somebody else because they did not want to waste their time just viewing the TV program. While you view the TV program, you watch the TV program, it appears to be you are wire away your time, but actually you are wire away your life. And I think today that happens in many Christian families, in many Christian families. I think I'm saying this with a certain degree of confidence because why? I heard this Sunday school teacher did a survey and they asked, what does your father love most at home? What does your father love most at home? That's the question. The answer is, the most common answer is TV programs. TV programs is something my father loves most. So Christian brothers and sisters, we can often teach Bibles to our children. We can read Bibles to our children. Even before bedtime, we tell our children, tell our youngsters, well, pray before you go to bed, all that. But your deeds speak louder. Always remember, deeds speak louder. Because what you do really is more powerful than what you say or what you just teach your children. Because your deeds is telling your children that watching TV is the most important thing in your very own life. So there was this Christian family in front of a TV set. They have this sign. They have this sign is we make Our household make this TV set a holy ground for the Lord. Our family makes this TV set a holy ground for the Lord. So this is how the family deal with their TV watching at home. And I think that is really something for you and me to think about. So being Christian families, being Christian parents at home, the most important thing is what you do, not what you say or what you teach your children. I'm not saying it's unimportant what you say or teach your children, but it is more important, it's more critical, it's more influential what you do, how you behave at your home, what kind of example you set before your children. Another thing I would like to expound a little bit is covetousness and greed. And it also has a lot to do with a marital relationship. So both males and females, we need to be very careful. We need to be very alert in this particular area. And sometimes you find that being a sister, you find that other people's husbands are better in some areas than yourself or than your own. Or vice versa. On the other hand, for a brother, and you'll find another person's wife, another brother's wife seems better or prettier regarding some weaknesses of your wife, then you need to be very careful. Do not socialize because you have a natural kind of a feeling or tendency to try to socialize with the person you like, with the opposite sex you like. That's very dangerous. You need to be careful. So like this Christian family, when the husband was about to go to America on a business trip, and he just said to his wife, said, well, I need your help. You need to pray for me. You need to pray for me. And that was 1986. He said, you need to pray for me because I really need to be protected and preserved by our Lord so I will not get into temptations, particularly regarding female companions and female co-workers. Yes, this is very important. This is a wise ask for help, very wise thing for the brother to talk to his wife like that. So oftentimes for those Christians, you think you are okay, you are strong enough, your faith is strong enough, you will not fall prey to these temptations. Well, these are the ones who will fall very quickly and easily. On the other hand, for those Christians who feel they are very careful, they think they are weak, they think they are oftentimes hopeless, oftentimes they are easily fall into temptations and pitfalls, and they ask help from the Lord and from their spouse or relatives or friends, and these are the people, because they are very careful, because they are aware of their weaknesses, they are always careful, they always rely on the power of the Spirit and on the power of the Lord and on the power of the prayer of other people rather than on their own faith on themselves. These are people less likely to sin. These are the people less likely to fall. So it is very important. It is very important. So brothers and sisters, just like the passage we just read, we need to guard our own desires. We need to search our hearts for our own desires. What kind of our private desires we harbor, we house in our own spirit, in our own inner chamber, in the deep parts of our hearts. What desires we have? So if we don't deal with these desires can just develop into acts, into deeds, which will cause us to sin. This young Christian brother just shared with me, and he just found himself easily tempted in the sexual area. So he was very careful. Before he was married, he had a few girlfriends. Whenever he was alone with his girlfriends, and he found that he was really into this mode, into this strong sexual mode. So since he was a Christian, and he just asked help, asked people to pray for him. So brothers and sisters, that's why Bible said we need to flee from temptations. We need to run away fast away from the temptations and trials. Brothers and sisters, these are important messages. These are important teachings in the Bible. You and I need to give close heed to it. So we need to be very careful, very watchful, so we do not walk on the edge of the cliffs. Okay, you know what I mean, right? We do not walk on the edge of cliffs, otherwise we easily, in an instant, we will fall. So we need to be careful. Don't go to these places which is deserted area, and do not go to these dark places. And a lot of men and girls, when they think, well, because we're going to get married anyway, so what's a big deal if we have a sexual relationship even before our marriage? What's wrong with that? And you know what? According to statistics, for those people, even though finally they get married, but they started their sexual relations before marriage, and in their married life, they will experience more trouble, more difficulties, and they will experience more sense of insecurity. So I just really thank the Lord. In our church, more and more young guys and girls, they are very careful, they are very watchful, they are on just very tight guard. So particularly some brothers shared with me, when they read the papers or magazines, as soon as they spotted some very provocative pictures or articles, particularly pictures, they immediately just set the paper aside and closed the magazines. They knew they need to guard their eyes, what they look at, what they watch, what they read. They need to be very, very careful because according to the witness many brothers shared with me, in their younger days, if they did not exercise enough caution in that particular area, and when they watched a lot of pornographic things in their younger years, and later when after they became a Christian, it took so much effort and so much determination, so much deep confession and repentance before the Lord to set themselves free, to get themselves set free from this great trial and temptation. And I heard recently back in Taiwan, they are even doing these things to very young children. Even when young children, when they buy candies from those confectionery stores, when they unwrap the candy paper, even inside the candy paper, they have those sexual pictures in it. So brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful. Do not open up any cracks for the evil one to attack us, because we are living in end times. The evil one, Satan, has a lot of weapons to attack us. For the recent decade or so, we all know many young boys and girls, they are very young, and they just came to the States all on themselves or by themselves. They enrolled in elementary school. They are at such a tender age, but since they live and study all by themselves, they were easily exposed in those bombardment of sexual materials. And since nobody was watching them, so they were easily hooked. They were easily just their mind and spirit was severely, almost hopelessly polluted. So when they grow up, they really experienced a lot of trouble. Some just got into crime at a very early age. It's very unfortunate, very unfortunate. So brothers and sisters, even though we are Christians, but this is also area of trials and temptations we need to guard ourselves against. We need to on very, very tight guards. So we really need to be filled in our life, in our spirit, in our heart, be filled with the love of the Lord. We need to pursue the love of the Lord. We need to pray and ask the love of the Lord all the time of our lives. The next area I want to talk about is eating, is to be gluttonous. So one sister shared with me this experience. It was around Christmas time. So the company just had a big banquet and big feast. So our sister also went to this banquet, and they had tons of food, and she really enjoyed the food a great deal. And after the food, she was quite full. But people started rounds of desserts, and these uh, these waiters and waitresses walk all over the place and asking everybody, do you want desserts? And all these desserts, a variety of desserts, each and every one looks very delicious, looks very just enticing. So our sister realized that she could not eat anymore. But when she looked at so many people around her, they were still eating, they were still munching. And it was so attractive, so enticing. And so she was struggling within herself. Wow, these look so nice. Wow, these look so good. I want to eat more. And not only that, on top of all that, and the food is free. The food is free. And all of a sudden, the Lord shines His light into her heart. Well, it is greed. It is greed. It is your covetousness. Because the food is free. So you want to eat more? But I don't think so. You are full already. So our sister realized it. So she just fought against her desire. And she ended up successful. She did not continue with dessert. So Christians, fellow Christians, nowadays when you go out into the restaurant, so many restaurants offer a buffet. And a buffet is a really bad thing for us Christians. Because whatever you paid, you can eat to your heart's content. Then mostly your natural feeling or your natural take on this is, well, since I already paid my portion of it, I might as well eat as much as I can because I want to really get my money's worth. You know what? That's greed. That's covetousness. And oftentimes if we have an appointment, we have a dinner party, and if we are planning on going to a buffet, oftentimes we even skip the meal before that. Because why? We are planning on eat a big meal since it's a buffet. So Christian brothers and sisters, this is another area you and I need to exercise control on ourselves. Yes, we are rendered the powers when we are in front of these delicious food, but this is the area of spiritual warfare. You and I need to rely on the power of Holy Spirit. We need to ask help from the Lord. And we know this is not small matter. This is spiritual warfare. This is a battle. You and I are just thrown into it. We are just in the middle of this battle anyway. You and I need to stand up in the faith and in the strength of the Lord to fight this battle until we just conquer this temptation. And we all know, if you eat like this on an ongoing basis, on a constant basis, we are causing a lot of trouble to our health. Every time when I go back to Taiwan, relatives and friends, it's kind of like a habit. It's like a tradition. They always invite me to buffet. Sometimes I eat buffets in a row, like a lunch buffet and a dinner buffet. So we need to be very careful. Do not let the evil desire take control of us. The desire of greed, the desire of covetousness. I want to eat as much as I can. Do not let that evil desire take control. And another sister shared with me her childhood. When she was young, she grew up in grandmother's house. And the grandmother always pampered her with tons of food. So it became her nature. She loves the food. Not only that, she just eats a lot. Later on, she was married. She had her own children. And after that, soon she was diagnosed that she was diabetic, because that's something ran in her family. Her father was also diabetic. So she was diabetic, which was diagnosed. And since she was a Christian now, and in her daily devotional time, she realized, and the Lord wants to eat to heal her diabetes. But at the same time, she realized, she sensed the Lord also wants her to take some action, to do something about her bad eating habit, because she did not have any control of her bad eating habit. So this became her spiritual struggle. It is a struggle within her life. And it is very difficult, because it's simply her second nature. She was brought up that way. She was brought up with tons of food. She was brought up a glutton. Now, what did she do? What could could she do and what should she do? And Lord just told her very clearly, yes, if you want to be engaged in the spiritual warfare and come out a conqueror, then you need to do something in this particular area, this area which is your eating. You are a glutton, so you want to do something about it. You need to fight this spiritual battle. Then she remembered the Bible said that because the wounds Jesus received, the wounds was inflicted on him, so we are healed. So this is a message of the Bible. So she realized it, and she has to do something. She has to put her trust and faith in the Lord. She has to draw on the strength of the Holy Spirit to fight this spiritual warfare. On her own, she could not do it. On her own, she would not be successful. But she could draw on the strength of the Lord. And that's exactly what she did. And she finally came out a conqueror. She just won this spiritual battle. So one thing I want to bring up at this point, oftentimes we fail here, we feel the fail there. And oftentimes we focus too much on our weaknesses. Oftentimes we focus too much on our things we just did in our lives, and we felt so hopeless. We felt so just helpless, and we felt depressed, and we felt emotionally low. If we focus on ourselves, we will never stand up. We can never rise to the occasion to engage in this spiritual battle. We need to just readjust our focus onto the Lord, onto the accomplishments the Lord just achieved for us, the Lord did for us, the Lord just brought to this world for us Christians. We need to focus on Him and on Him only. And if we focus on the strength of the Lord, we focus on the power of the Lord, we focus on the faithfulness and loving kindness of the Lord, and we will be well equipped, we will be better prepared to engage in this spiritual warfare. So when we focus on Him, we need to pray to Him, Lord, I want to wait upon You. I want to wait for You in Your light of judgment. In Your light of judgment, I'm waiting upon You. I'm waiting for You to strengthen me. I'm waiting for You to deliver me. I'm waiting for You to give me Your help and Your light. Do not just focus, for example, on your bad eating habits. I want to eat less. I want to eat less. Keep telling yourself. But instead, you focus on the Lord. Lord, whatever weaknesses I have, You are aware. You know very clearly. You will help me. My own personal example is this. When I grew up, and sometimes people because of business acquaintances and partners, they give us a lot of snacks, all that. But my whole family, except me, my whole family did not like snacks. So nobody in the household, they touched these snacks. So it is my chance. So I jumped on it. So I just munched on these snacks, and it was a great enjoyment. It became my love of life, is munching on these snacks. And so I also developed this bad eating habits. I particularly like the snacks, which is a side food, not a main dish, but the side food, the sideline food, really attracted me. As soon as I set my eyes on these things, I find I can't resist. I have to eat something, even after I became an adult. So after I became a minister, and I knew this is the area I need to deal with, I need to do something about it. So I pray to God, God, I just focus on Jesus. I focus on Jesus, I praise You. I praise Your power. I praise Your faithfulness. Lord, I want You to come into my life to fill me, to fill my thoughts, to fill my spirits. So because I focus on the Lord, I focus on the Lord every day, every single day of my Christian life, I pray like that. Lord, today You come to my life to fill me, to fill my emotions, to fill my thoughts. Because I do that, I focus on the Lord. I focus on the love of the Lord. I focus on the power of the Lord. So the eating desire simply just left me. I was no longer interested in junk food, in snack food. Another temptation is temptation of music. When I was young, I really listened to tons of pop music, love songs, sentimental songs, and rock and roll, all these so-called trendy music. I was really into trendy music. So once these music are on, and I find I just really identify to the rhythm, to the mood, to the melody, all that. So because of that, my heart was kind of occupied by the mood, by the melody, by the by all the rhythm, things like that. And back in Taiwan, as soon as I stepped onto the bus, the bus loudspeaker just blasted this music. They really turned the volume very high. So all these pop songs, all these sentimental songs, actually they are not doing you any good. And so after I became a Christian, I still use the bus on a daily basis. So as soon as I step onto the bus, I need to just turn my mind to the Lord. I need to turn my mind and my ear and my focus, my attention inwardly. So I prayed to God silently, and I said, Lord, I want you. Lord, come into my heart. Lord, just help me. Lord, draw me near you. Lord, help me to focus on you. I do not want to be affected by this loud music. I want to turn my heart to you. I want to turn my attention and focus on you and on you only. I need to do that very, very, working very hard in that area. Then after I do it, continually do it, I was able to shut the music out of me. I can shut it out. I can concentrate on my Lord. I can have a close relationship, have an intimate conversation with my Lord, even though the music was being blasted out of the speakers. But later on, I just continued to do this, and I just do this very steadfastly. And after a long while, when I stepped onto the bus, I was freed. I was freed. I don't need to struggle anymore. I don't need to fight this anymore. The instant I just sat down in the seat of the bus, I can immediately turn my attention to the Lord. I can immediately start this relationship with the Lord, start this intimate conversation with my Lord. I do not need to struggle anymore because the music just stopped bothering me, because I came out victorious. I came out a conqueror. I just won this particular spiritual battle. When the Hebrew people was brought out by Moses, they left the land of Egypt. But that's not the end goal of the Lord. The Lord wants to bring this vast group of Hebrew people, the Israelites, into the land of Canaan. But when they enter the land of Canaan, they have to fight. They have to fight these seven tribes. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 10 and 11. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confessions in the presence of many witnesses. This is a very important verse. These two verses we all need to memorize. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confessions in the presence of many witnesses. So, brothers and sisters, another area I want to talk about is money, is riches in this world. So it's almost in every man's heart, there is this desire is to get rich, to make a lot of money. And when I was a young girl, I was very greedy, and I was a tightwad. When father gave me $10, I used $2 to buy some food for myself. And I saved $8. But actually, my father's intent was for me to spend all $10 on my food. But I just spent only $2 on some plain noodles without anything on it. And I saved $8. Later on, many years later, I became a Christian, and I was taught the principle about tithing. So I just started right away to tithe. After I became a minister, I started doubling my tithing. So I just developed this discipline to give the Lord 20% of my before tax income. So money was never a problem with me, and to depart from my with my money was never an issue with me. But I knew this minister who is a pastor, and he shared with me his witness. He said, he told me once, he said, once when your bank savings, bank account grows, when your bank account grows bigger and bigger, and I find it's more and more difficult to depart with my money. And years later, I understand he really got into financial trouble. And he really got into financial trouble because his greed for money, his greed for more riches. So brothers and sisters, money is an important issue. Money probably is one of the most important areas of Christian lives. We need to fight this spiritual battle. So just we need to be careful. Oftentimes in the United States here, we want to buy better cars, we want to have bigger houses. When we have friends or we have acquaintances, we have co-workers, they have larger houses than we have, then we want to do the same thing. We want to make more money. That's what we pursue. We pursue for bigger houses and better cars. And we also sometimes when we open up the papers, we read so many tragedies, so many horror stories. Son kills his father or son kills his mother. A lot of them are financially related. It's financially related crimes. So a desire of greed, a desire for more money, it is such a killing. It's such a killing temptation and trial in our lives. And particularly in this area, no matter how much money you have, you will never be satisfied. No matter how big the number just becomes with your bank account, you are still not satisfied. You still want more. You still desire more. And it is a known fact. It is also widely accepted statistics is that a majority of those rich people are unhappy people. They are unhappy in their lives, even though they are not short of money, but they are unhappy. Not only that, often children grow up in rich families. These are children, uncaring children, unloving children, and ungrateful children. And we heard so many stories, even in our Chinese community. It reflects the same trend. The richer the family, normally you will find ungrateful children. The more ungrateful and more uncaring, unloving children. Because they are pampered, they were fed with money. They were fed with material possessions. And they become so materialistic. Minded people, they growing up, they do not have the necessary emotional nurturing and the loving relationship in the family. All they care about is material things. So the strongest weapon to fight against this is, let's look at the same chapter, verse 6 through 8. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So we should pursue two things. One is godliness. We need to pursue godliness in our life. And if we have contentment, we are content with all the things we have, then it is a great gain. So this is a weapon to fight against desire, fight against greed, fight against the desire of wanting more money, is be godly, and be content. Also, let's read verse 17 through 19 of the same chapter. commend those who are rich in their present world and not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Commend them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. See, it says very important to commend these people to be rich in good deeds, not to be rich in money. If these people, they are, so you and I need to take this lesson, take this message to our hearts. If we are pretty well off, if we are blessed with the riches of this world, we need to be rich in good deeds. We need to love to share what we have with other people, to share with those less fortunate. So if some among us, if you are just blessed with material things and with riches with, of this world, you need to oftentimes pay close attention to search out those who are needy in the church, those who are needy among the people around you, and you need to search out what are the needs of the church, of other Christians. Then you can really share your wealth. You can share your riches. You can be rich in good deeds. This is the desire of the Lord. This is the only purpose God has put so much money and riches in your hands. That's the purpose. It's not for you to squander your money. It's not for you to pamper yourself or your children. It is for you to do good deeds. For those of us, we Christians, we have families, we are married, and we need to be super careful. Why? The reason is when we are married, when we establish a family, we establish a career. Oftentimes, we will just come across bump into these people, and they just have bigger houses, they have better houses, and they have better cars, more expensive cars like that. Then we will be easily. And tempted. So we need to be very careful in this area. When we first sense the onset of these temptations, we need to immediately stand up to call on the strength of the Lord to fight back these temptations. If we don't, these temptations will grow. They will grow. They will conceive, just like the Bible said. So each and every one of us need to search our own hearts, search my own hearts. Do I really have this desire for money? Do I have this evil desire for riches, to strike rich, to make more money? If this thing occupies my mind, occupies my heart, I really need to search myself. Each and every one of us need to do that. We need to come before the Lord to ask the Lord to shine His great light into our hearts so we can see what is our desire, what is the thing we just harbors in our innermost self. And you and I all know, and it's not difficult for us to know, this is a very powerful weapon of Satan. He used, particularly in this day and time, Satan just uses this weapon to attack many of us, and unfortunately, many of us just fall prey to this attack. We were captured, and we were almost killed by this powerful weapon. So, hope someday, each and every one of us, when we come face to face with God, none of us was killed by this great temptation. One Easter, I just went to Hong Kong to just lead a worship service, lead a conference. One brother shared with me, and he had one very bad personal temptation. It was such a stranglehold on him. He couldn't do anything to it, even though he tried, and he struggled greatly. But in that conference, in that conference. He experienced this great revival, and he experienced this descension of the power of the Spirit into him. So he felt he was relieved from this temptation. But after a while, and this temptation came back to haunt him again, and he felt very bad about it. He was afraid, and he felt weak. So there was this small voice speaking to his heart. He said, well, you have a choice before you. You have a choice. If you love yourself more, and you won't be able to fight this temptation. But if you love me more, if you love me more, I will help you. So you have a choice before you. And it is the easiest thing for you to do. All you need to do is to love me more. All you need to do is love me more and focus on me. Focus on me. Do not focus on your temptation. Do not focus on your weakness. Do not focus on your hopelessness and helplessness. Instead, you just direct your focus on me and love me, and I will help you. And he said, he shared with me, then after a while, and he just realized that the old temptation was completely gone. The old temptation no longer had any control on him. So it's also said in the book of Romans, it says, I think it's chapter 8 somewhere, it says, those who living according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful nature is death, but our mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So it is important thing is we should live according to the desires of ourselves, or we live according to the power of the Spirit, live according to the guidance of the Spirit. So that is a choice before us. We need to pray to God so God will help us. We need to focus on God so God will help us. If we focus on Jesus, and Jesus will come into our lives, Jesus will fill our minds, will fill our emotions, will fill our spirit. So it is very important. Like I said before, probably the most basic, most fundamental, the most important area is the greed for money. This is the area you and I really need to fight against, really need to engage into this great spiritual battle. We need to fight. We need to ask the full strength of the Lord to help us to fight. So all these temptations and trials are from our evil desires, from within our private desires and evil desires. Then another temptation, another type of temptation, it can be brought upon us to be sort of like we are intruded by Satan. Satan sort of like brought this thing upon to us. One example is one minister, one famous minister, and he was a dynamic speaker, but sometimes, in the middle of his speech, all of a sudden he experienced this onset of these filthy thoughts, these sexual immoral thoughts, and it was really bad. It was very difficult for him to continue with his speech, and he really struggled with that. So he just wandered on the waterfront. He opened his mouth and he prayed to God. He called upon the help of the Lord. Lord, I know these are not my own thoughts. I know these are not the thoughts within myself. These are the thoughts of arrows from the Satan. Satan attacked me with these just pornographic pictures and thoughts because I never thought along these things. But all of a sudden, in the middle of my speech, these thoughts just come on me, and these pictures of pornographic nature just all of a sudden just emerged in my mind. Lord, I know, help me to fight this spiritual. And Satan, I just proclaim in the name of the Lord, depart from me. These evil thoughts, depart from me. These are not from within myself. These are the weapons of Satan. Satan just brought upon me. So brothers and sisters, this is another type of temptation and trials. These are not not from your own evil thoughts or your filthy desires, but these are things brought upon you by Satan. Then you need to proclaim in the great power of the Lord, in the great strength of the Spirit, in the great name and victory of Jesus Christ. And you just command these thoughts to depart from you. You command these thoughts to leave you alone, to leave you alone. You command Satan to leave you alone. Depart from me, Satan. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. You just depart from me. Leave me alone. In the name of the Lord, leave me alone. So you need to command. You need to command. At the same time, you need to be very careful. Sometimes it's true, even though it's not from within yourself. But if these thoughts or these just images were brought upon by Satan, and you need to immediately, call upon the strength of the Spirit to fight against it, to get these things out of your mind. On the other, if you don't do that, you let these images, you let these thoughts linger in your mind, then you will open yourself a crack. Let Satan set foot in your mind and in your spirit, then these things will conceive. These evil thoughts will conceive, will bring sin in your life and in your thoughts. So brothers and sisters, it's important. It's important for you and I, in the name of the Lord, in the faith we put in our Christ, we need to fight this spiritual warfare in the area of trials and temptations. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, but as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What great verses. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was not sin. This is such a precious verse for you and me. When we fight the spiritual warfare, we need this verse to accompany us. We need this verse to fight with us. And this is very encouraging verse. This is very charging verse for you and me. Because Jesus was tempted in every way we have, in every way we ever will be. Because Jesus was tempted, but he never failed. He never failed. So Jesus, from every temptation he ever encountered, he came out victorious. So we have this high priest. This high priest, he is our Lord. He is our God. He is our helper. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. We can fight in his name. We can fight this spiritual battle in his strength, with his love, with his support, with his guidance, with his direction. We will come out victorious. Don't worry about that. So, as long as we put our complete faith and trust in our Lord, who can withstand us? Who can fight against us? Because we have this high priest. We have this high priest come out of every temptation, because he came out victorious. So, brothers and sisters, this is great message. This is great message. This is such a helpful message. This is a very important message in our times of need. In our times of need, we pray to God. In our times of need, we have this message with us. Even though we are tested, even we are tempted, we can be victorious. We can be conqueror. So brothers and sisters, let's hold on very tight onto this message. Let's remember this message. So we need to be we need also at the same time be watchful, not find ourselves many excuses for our weaknesses. This is something we need to guard ourselves against. oftentimes we have when these private desires, evil desires are popping up or acting up, and we tend to find excuses to sort of let ourselves loose, to sin a little bit, in other words. We need to be very careful. Whenever we sense the first signs of trials and temptations, we need to immediately call upon the strength of the Lord. Lord, I need your help. Lord, help me to fight this great fight. If today you and I cannot come out victorious in the face of these trials and temptations, what will happen? Can you imagine what would happen to you and me if we encounter the great tribulations and persecution like those brave Christians who faced, who experienced, who went through in mainland China during the Cultural Revolution years? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Probably most likely we would fail, and fail miserably. Because you and I today, we live in a very comfortable setting. And we are living in material blessings. We are living in the material abundance. And our body, our mind, body, and soul are so pampered. Our mind, body, and soul, and just sort of saturated in this enjoyment of our material life. And we just live in this unbelievable comfort and leisure. So we really need to be very careful. Whenever we sense the first signs of temptations and trials, we need to call upon all the strength within us. We need to furthermore to call upon the great power of the Holy Spirit to help us, to protect us, to guide us, to fight against our evil desires and private desires and evil thoughts and our filthy intentions. We need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. Brothers, sisters, another important and a powerful weapon we have, the Lord has put in our hands, is just like the Lord has given that brother an option. Do you want to love yourself more or you love me more? If you love me more, you focus on me. You focus on me and on me only. I will help you. I will guide you and lead you and protect you and walk you through your time of need, your time of difficulty, your time of tribulation. So brothers and sisters, hope this message really gets into your heart and mind. Let's turn to the hymn book 384.